Well, it's always good to be in Indiana. And we are so delighted for the privilege and the opportunity of sharing with you tonight and tomorrow night. Now, I hope you brought your Bible, because the most important thing is not what I say, but what the Word of God has to say. And I want you tonight to follow clearly and closely in the Word of God. I want to ask you to begin by opening to John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And then I want you to look at that verse found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, the last part of that verse, where our Lord says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." One of the greatest preachers among Southern Baptists in the 20th century was a man by the name of Vance Havner. Many of you may have had opportunity to hear Dr. Havner in the 20th century. What a great man of God he was. He grew up in the hills of North Carolina. And Dr. Havner said that as a young teenage boy, as he would be going out in the afternoon, his mother would always say to him, "Son, hurry home. Get home, son, before dark." Now, that was good advice 100 years ago. That was good advice 100 years ago, because there were very few street lights to punch holes in the darkness. And it was so important in light of the fact that there were no gas lights to illuminate the way that a person get home before dark. But Dr. Havner said that he began to think about those words that his mama spoke to him. And he said, "I began to say, Mother, there's something there that's deeper and more important. I want to get home to heaven before the darkness of sin can overtake my life." Now, you want to know tonight about the power of God in ministry. Why is it that we have such a challenge in this day and time to reach people? Why is it? It's because so many of God's people are not getting home before dark. If you mark it down, the reason that we're not winning the masses of our world to Christ is because we're not getting home before dark. Now, I want to show you tonight that this problem didn't just begin. It's a problem that has been in the human race for years and years and years. In fact, the Bible is filled with examples of men who were good men, men who were righteous men, men who were noble men, but men who didn't get home before dark. I want you to see three men like that who didn't get home before dark. I want you to open your Bible, first of all, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. And in Genesis chapter 6, we're told about a man by the name of Noah. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." That's the 8th verse. Now, you ought to circle that little word, grace, because that's the first time in the Bible that God ever uses the word grace. It'll be used many times again. But the first time he used it to tell about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Many of us have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're here today by His grace. We are what we are by His grace. And the Bible tells us what Noah was by the grace of God. Look what it says in that 9th verse. Noah was a just man. Noah was a just man. That is, Noah was a man of character. That's what the Bible is telling us there. By the grace of God, Noah was a man of character. Not only does it say that Noah was a just man, but it says that Noah was perfect in his generation. That is, it's saying to us that Noah was a man who was upright. By the grace of God, Noah was a man who was consistent in his conduct. You can only be consistent in your conduct by the grace of God. Only the grace of God makes it possible for a man to have character, for a woman to be consistent in her conduct. But look what else it says there, and Noah walked with God. That is, Noah communed with God. The grace of God given to Noah allowed him to walk with God and to commune and to talk with God. Not only does the Bible tell us that he was a man of character and a man consistent in conduct and a man who communed with God, but the Bible tells us that he was a man of commitment. He was a man of commitment. Look at that 22nd verse of the 6th chapter. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He was a man of commitment. The grace of God helped Noah to walk in obedience to the command of Almighty God. And when God said to Noah, "Noah, I want you to build an ark," as the crowd of that day laughed and mocked him and jeered him, Noah for years continued in the building of that ark. And one day that ark was all built. And by the grace of God, he obeyed God yet another time. For God said to Noah, "Noah, come with your family into the ark." And Noah brought his family into the ark. And the Bible tells us how that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And all who were on the face of the earth vanished in death. But Noah and his family lived by the grace of God. And if that had been the end of the story, Noah would have gotten home before dark. But that wasn't the end of the story. For you have to turn on in the Word of God to the 9th chapter. And in chapter 9 and verse 20, the Bible says Noah began to be a husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. Doesn't say that God told him to plant a vineyard. He planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine, and knew what his youngest son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of cursed servants shall he be unto his brethren." Oh, I want to tell you tonight, dear friend, Noah didn't get home before dark because he was an unfaithful parent. I have great concern tonight for young people. But I want to tell you, my biggest concern is not for young people. My biggest concern is for parents. I want to tell you, dear friend, I'd rather lay down right here and die tonight than to cause one of my children to have to say about me, "He talked a good game, but he never walked it. He said that he lived for Jesus, but he never demonstrated it." Oh, I tell you tonight, there'll be many a parent that won't get home before dark. Because like Noah, they will be an unfaithful parent. But I want you to see again in God's Word another. I want you to notice a man by the name of Moses. Moses didn't get home before dark. There are a lot of folk in this world that are like Moses. Oh, Moses was a man who had the power of God upon his life. But open your Bible, if you would, to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Numbers, chapter 27. And while you're turning in your Bible, let me tell you about this man, Moses. Oh, how the power of God was upon his life. The Bible tells us that when Pharaoh was killing little babies, the power of God was upon Moses. When the death angel was going through the land, taking the firstborn, the death angel was taking the lives of those who had been firstborn. The Bible says the power of God was upon the life of Moses. The Bible tells us that when Moses came to the Red Sea, With his rod, he touched that water, and the waters parted. And the children of Israel passed over on dry land. The power of God was upon the hand of Moses. In the midst of the wilderness, as the people were hungry for water, thirsty for water, it was that same rod that Moses took and struck the rock. And out of that rock came water to satisfy all of their thirst. And if the story could have ended there, Moses would have gotten home before dark. But the story didn't end there, because the Bible tells us that Moses had become unaware of his position. I think one of the gravest sins, Brother Pastor, in the Christian family today is that we're unaware of our position. What is our position? We're the servants of God. We're the servants of God. But oh, my friend, we become unaware of our position. And we come to the place in life where we say, I'm going to do it like I want to do it. I'm going the way that I want to go. I'm going to be what I want to be. And we make our own plans and go our own way. And we don't get home before dark, because we're filled with presumptuous pride. And we say to God, I'll do it my way. You see, that's what Moses did. I want you to notice how serious what I'm talking about actually is. Because the Bible says here in the 27th chapter, and verse 12, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abram and see the land which I've given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah, in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Sin. I don't know if you comprehend the words that I've read or not, but the words that I have read tell us that God has taken out the death warrant on Moses. God has taken out the death warrant on Moses. God has come to the place where he drew a line in the sand. And Moses, unaware of his position now, once he did everything he did for the glory of God, but now he is filled with presumptuous pride, and he does it his way. You say, oh, it couldn't really be that bad, just doing a little something my way. Well, open your Bible to the book of Numbers, chapter 20. And listen to what it has to say in verse 7 and following. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod. Oh, that was the same rod that he touched the water, and the waters had parted. That was the same rod that he had taken and struck the rock at the instructions of God, being the servant of God. And water flowed out of the rock. But all listen to what the Bible says here. Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. Now listen carefully. And speak ye unto the rock. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, listen to this. Hear now, ye rebels! Oh, his fur was way up. His spirit was tough. He'd lost the position of a servant. And in presumptuous pride, he was doing things his way. And the Word of God says, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hands, and with the rod, he smote the rock twice. He smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank. And their hearts and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. Do you ever wonder why the congregation never comes into the land that God has given you? It may well be that just like Moses, you've become unaware of your position. You've become unaware of the fact that you're a servant of God. You're a servant of God. But you have become filled with presumptuous pride. And you look up to God and say, Lord, I'll do it my way. I want you to know the Bible is filled with examples of those who said, I'll do it my way, Lord. You can open your Bible, if you'd like, to the book of Leviticus chapter 10. And in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, you find just two verses in the Bible about Nadab and Abihu. You say, what was wrong with Nadab and Abihu? They had become unaware of who they were. And they had become filled with presumptuous pride. And they said, I'll do it my way. And I want you to listen what it says. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. You want to tell me it's not important to do what God calls you to do? You want to tell me that it's not important to do it God's way? You want to tell me tonight that you can just look up to heaven and say, Lord, I'm going to do it my way. If so, there may be a line in the sand tonight. And when you step across that line one more time, you'll be in eternity. Oh, but that's not all. You can open your Bible again. You can turn into the Word of God. And in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, you hear Samuel saying, hath the Lord as great delight, listen to this, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You say, oh, I want to do it my way. And God answers back and says, brother, sister, I have far greater delight when you do it my way. I have far greater delight when you obey my word rather than to decide that you'll do it your way like you would like to do. And notice the 23rd verse, because I've always been fascinated by that 23rd verse, because it tells you specifically how serious it is to play this little game with God and to become unaware of your position as a servant of God. Listen to what it says. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What? You won't tell me, Lord, that I'm guilty of something that's as bad as witchcraft when I'm filled with presumptuous pride and want to do things my way? That's right, old buddy. That's right. It's just as bad as witchcraft. But not only that, look what else he went ahead to say. And stubbornness. Oh, man, I've seen some Baptists who could be identified by that. Stubbornness. Stubbornness, that's what he said, is as iniquity and idolatry. It's like iniquity and idolatry. You say, is it really that bad? Yes, it is, my friend. Because of this, Saul said, I've sinned unto Samuel, for I've transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words. And that day Saul learned that God would remove him as king, because he had become guilty of being unaware of his position. Regardless of what your title is, you may be called king, you may be called pastor, but you're a servant of the Lord. And when you become unaware of that position, you are indeed in danger. You say, is there anything in the New Testament like that that you're talking about that's in the Old Testament? And if I had time tonight, I could keep going, but I don't have time. Yes, there's something in the New Testament like that that tells me something significant and something important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, And such fornication that is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should leave, should have his father's wife. And then notice what verse 5 says. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The New Testament says that there is a sin unto death. And if I knew tonight that I had committed a sin of being unaware of my position, I would fall on my hands and knees tonight and say, "Oh Lord, forgive me. And help me, O Lord, to be truly your servant." Yes, Noah didn't get home before dark because he was an unfaithful parent. And the Bible tells us that Moses didn't get home before dark because Moses was unaware of his position. But I want you to see a last man tonight who didn't get home before dark. You see a man by the name of David didn't get home before dark because he was unrestrained in his passion. He was unrestrained in his passion. Oh, there are few men anywhere who had the power of the Lord like David had. Few men. The Bible says that David with one stone killed Goliath the giant. The Bible says that with his bare hand, the power of God was upon him so that he killed the lion and the bear. The Bible tells us that the power of God was upon David so that he led the armies of Israel in victory over their enemies. The Word of God tells us that no one had more power with God than David. Nobody loved God more than David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And you know, if the story could have ended there, David would have gotten home before dark. But the story didn't end there, my friends. The Bible tells us, and you can open your Bible and see it in the Word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 12, tells us that one day David went up on top of his roof and looked out and saw a young woman bathing herself. And in the mind and heart of David, there came a hunger to ravage that fair body. Ultimately, he killed her husband, and indeed, he took the body of Bathsheba. And she became pregnant with his child. The Bible says that the prophet of God came unto David. And the prophet of God came unto David and said, "David, I want to tell you about a rich man. A rich man who had all kinds of little ewe lambs. And about a poor man who had one little ewe lamb. And I want to tell you how that rich man killed that man that had one little ewe lamb. And he took the little ewe lamb for himself." And the Bible says that David said in anger, "He shall repay fourfold. He shall repay fourfold. And the Word of God says that the day came when the little child, born to Bathsheba, came into the world. And that little child became seriously ill and was taken by God. Now, the Bible also tells us something right here that I don't know the answer to. And that is, I cannot tell you why God didn't kill David. I don't know the answer to that question. But he killed that little baby. The Bible says so. The Bible says that he took that little child. And I can imagine that when that little child died, that David walked out into his garden with a broken heart. And there in that garden, a specter rose up over him. And a voice that sounded like the prophet Nathan said to him, David, David, you said fourfold, David. And the first harvest is in the barn. And the Bible says that David had a daughter by the name of Tamar, a very beautiful daughter. And God's Word says that David had a son by the name of Amnon. And the Bible said that Amnon had that same unrestrained passion that his father had. Father like son. And the Bible says that Amnon ravished the body of his sister. And when the word came of what Amnon had done, I can imagine that he walked out into his garden again, and a specter rose up over him. And a voice spoke to him that sounded like the prophet Nathan. David, David, you said fourfold, David. And the second harvest is in the barn. And the Bible says that David had another son, a son by the name of Absalom. And Absalom loved Tamar. And when Absalom learned what it was that had happened to his sister, he began to plan how he could kill Amnon. 2 years passed by. But one day there came that time when Absalom was able to kill Amnon. And when the word came of what Absalom had done to Amnon, I can see David as he walks in his garden again. And as the specter rises up over him, and he heard a voice that sounded like the prophet Nathan, you said fourfold, David, and the third harvest is in the barn. And then the Bible says that Absalom fled, for he was afraid for his life that his father David would do something to destroy him. The years went by, and finally it was that Absalom had gathered a little army around him, and he decided that he would try to overthrow David from his throne. The Bible says that when the army of David began to chase Absalom riding faster and faster, his hair blowing in the wind. Suddenly that long hair caught in the bough of a tree. and the wind and began to tell the story of the death of Absalom. And I think that more than likely he walked in the garden again. And that same specter rose up above him, and he heard the voice of the prophet Nathan say, "David, David, you said fourfold, David, and the fourth harvest is already in the barn." Oh, I think there are many other things other than these three that cause good men, godly men, righteous men, noble men to not get home before dark. If I knew tonight that my sin was going to cause God to take one of my children, I'd want to lie down here and die rather than to ever let that become a reality. I want to ask you tonight to do a little personal interrogation of your life. Is the reason that the church is having such a difficult time in ministry and power because you're not going to get home before dark? If that's the case, I want to encourage you tonight to find your place around the front of this church and make out of an altar. You see, an altar is a place where a man meets God. But it's not only a place where a man meets God. It's where a man surrenders to God. And where a man or a woman says to God, "Lord God, I want to do it your way. I want to live like you would have me to live. I want to be your servant. I want to obey you and be faithful unto death." We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I'd like for us to sing, Brother Jack, number 305. If we could do that, if you'd come and prepare for our invitation, hymn number 305. And I'd like for you, as we stand and sing this hymn of invitation, I'd like for you tonight to let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. And whatever it is that you need to do in having business with God, will you do it right now? Maybe all you need to do is just to come and to kneel here at the front and say, "Lord God, I want to get home before dark. I want to get home before dark." Would you do it right now? While we sing, you come. Amen.